11 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. We are Nigeria Info. My name is Anoh Gbevire, and we will be looking at the matter on the table. For those who missed the news at 6, SERAP, the Social Economic Rights and Accountability Project, has called on President Muhammadu Buhari to withdraw the pardon granted to former governors of Plateau State, Senator Joshua Dare, and Taraba State, Reverend Jolly Inyame. Both of them are serving jail terms after being convicted of corruption since leaving office. So on Thursday last week, the Council of State, chaired by President Buhari, granted a presidential pardon to 159 convicts. On that list, we saw Senator Joshua Dare and Reverend Jolly Inyame. They were jailed. Dare was said to have stolen $1.16 billion and Inyame, $1.6 billion naira. So, what SERAP is saying is that impunity for corruption will continue as long as influential politicians escape justice for their crimes. Now, we track back to 2013 right here. Goodluck Jonathan Alamiseya is what the headline reads. Nigeria's government has pardoned a key ally of President Goodluck Jonathan, who was convicted of stealing millions of dollars. Ex-Bayelsa State Governor Dipre Alamiseya has been pardoned because he had been remorseful. That's what presidential advisor at that time, Doyin Okupe, said. Remorseful. Opposition activists said the decision is a major blow to efforts to curb corruption in Nigeria. He was released in 2007, 2 days after receiving a 2-year sentence. Okay. But he had been there for 2 years before that sentence was issued. Or given. 2 days. He became the first ex-governor to be convicted of corruption. But then again, at that time, Doyin Okupe said there's no law against the granting of pardons to any criminal. There is no law. My guest, Ken Henshaw, is here of We the People. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
All right. Let's start from what happened on Thursday last week. First of all, the list wasn't made public. It was the Punch newspaper that told us that Dare and Inyame had made the list. Are you concerned about what it might do to the fight against corruption?
Well, yes, I am. I'm absolutely concerned about what it might do to emboldening corrupt people, not what it might do to the fight against corruption, because I've long since come to the conclusion that there's no such thing as a fight in Nigeria against corruption. Yeah, it doesn't exist. You know, we've said this over and over again, right? This government came into office under the pretext of fighting some kind of battle against corruption. This President Buhari, identified corruption as the biggest problem in the country, and he wrote his campaign on the crescendo that, listen, corruption is our problem and I'm going to fight it. He was at Chatham House. He was at many places. You know, he was everywhere he spoke. You ask him any question, he takes it down to corruption, right? So you would think that this is going to be the number one thing he faces head on when he comes into office. And unfortunately, you know, every doubt whatsoever we had, every contested data we had, has now been put to rest. Don't forget that since Buhari came into office in 2015, from 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, Nigeria's ranking on Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, right, has steadily declined. The last one for 2021 was released, and Nigeria had dropped a few places, about 1 or 2 points extra, right? So since 2015 till now, we have seen a steady decline, but the government has always routinely denied it. you know, say no. We don't know how they do their data. We don't know how they gather. This government argues with any data,
even though there are statistics to show.
Yes,
you know, there are criteria to show how they come about the data.
Yeah, the criteria are clear. I mean, you go to the Transparency International's website where the index is placed. You will see, you know, the points, the how the data is gathered. Everything is clear there. But the government argues. So if we were arguing about that, now we have put it to rest. So the pretext is over.
No, but some people argue that in the early days there were several arrests and, you know, prosecution that started that, you know, Nigeria hadn't experienced before.
What arrest and prosecution? Let's remember them.
What's that guy's name?
Oh, he's a guy.
No.
Just one person.
there was a key figure. I'm trying.
Okay, so the first thing this government did was to go after people whom it said had stolen money for arms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And had shared the money during elections, something like that. The secretary of the PDP at the time, Olisa Metu, was put in jail.
Thank you.
Metu. Yes, was put in jail, right? Mm-hmm. And a couple of other people. What has come out of that? So it now makes you confident.
Okay, so for you, it's not just we arrest or we are prosecuting, it's the outcome.
Yes, it is the outcome. It's also the reason for arrest. And listen, there were people who at the time said that this was all about, this was political gimmick, that the president was coming after people.
Selected
people. People he felt had played dirty in the last election. He was going after them. And this proves it right. You know, don't forget that one.
But when they really indicted, did they say they didn't take the money? Or
no, so the question has never been whether money was stolen at that time or not. No, it's never been whether the money was stolen or not. The point has always been that this is one case of corruption, and there were several others, including those involving people very close to this president, right, that were not looked into. And a particular case was, you know, taken up and flogged politically. It didn't make any progress in court. I think there was some other person.
If it's not making any progress in court, is it the president's fault?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. No, listen. So the thing is this, right? Sometimes when the progress a case makes in the court also is a response to the body language of the president.
Going back to body language.
No, so the thing is that, right? If the president is interested in a bill in the National Assembly, for example, look at the Petroleum Industry Act.
No. That's different.
No, I'm telling you,
the courts now.
It's the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing.
Because I know there is a case in River State, and then I heard that the governor was there himself some weeks ago. He went to court himself.
Yeah.
He was present. And a lot of people in university have said that the governor of River State has hijacked the judiciary. So if you put that side by side, What is speed?
So if the government has got a case, it intends, you know, it considers as something that may, you know, that defines his administration. It's a flashpoint case of corruption and defines his administration, right? There is that interest which you have, the way you talk about the case, the way you even fund the prosecuting agency,
okay,
right? Sometimes you even come out and complain you don't know why this case is dragging in court, something like that, right? Consider this. Keep the manner in which corruption cases are driven in this country and the manner election cases are driven. Okay, you see that in election cases you have immediate judgments, very quick, very fast, because there's vested political interest in those ones.
Okay.
But in corruption cases, there's no interest, nobody cares, right? But a president, who cares? You see judgment.
Okay, come so out. For you, it's just showmanship.
It's showmanship. Look, 7 years, no judgment, rigmarole, adjournments of 6 months, 1 year. It's a joke. It's a real joke. And the case of Jolin Yame and Joshua Dariye has put stamp to the president's credentials when it comes to the war on corruption.
How different is that from what happened in 2013?
Exactly the same thing. And we've said this before, right? I've said it over and over again, that I think it's very childish Nigerians who still reckon or think about Nigeria's politics along political party lines. There are no political parties. Elsewhere in the world, the political party is an embodiment of ideas, ideology, and processes, right?
That's on Nigerian.
Yeah, no.
The thing you just said, no, they're on Nigerian.
Yeah, it's on Nigerian, that's the thing. So elsewhere, political parties are frameworks where you step into, you get educated in that system, and the political party takes you as its representative to realize its ideology in government. In Nigeria, right? Political parties are just vehicles you can jump into a mole, jump into this one, jump into the next one. And
keep moving. Bottom line for the politicians, we just keep moving.
We keep moving. So it's about what they stand for, them, their interests and all that. So people still make analysis, and you go to social media and you see young, vibrant Nigerians who should know better still talking about politics along party lines. So the APC is this, the PDP. There's no APC, there's no PDP. Just a bunch of people who can cross carpets at any point in time whatsoever. There's no party. You can't keep making analysis based on that. There are no political parties. What's the idea of PDP? What's the idea of APC? What does the PDP stand for as it relates to corruption, or APC on corruption? Is it conservative or radical? What are these things? There are no ideological divides. Ask any member of the APC about the ideology of the political party. Doesn't know. Same with PDP. So there are no political
power.
So what happened in 2000 in the case in 2013 when President Goodluck Jonathan pardoned ex-governor the SP Alamisia, right? It's pretty much the same thing. I was on radio like this also. We cried out, we shouted, we screamed. The APC jumped on it. I think it was ACN then. They jumped on it. They were angry. Everybody showed anger and disdain. And it's the same anger and disdain. But what that tells you, that on the eve of the 2023 elections, right, this same government that quarreled with what the PDP did in 2013 has found it expedient to deploy the same strategy of releasing politicians who are convicted of corruption, releasing them into the populace, right? Releasing them just ahead of election. See, it tells you that, look, PDP and APC, they are all playing from the same playbook. It's the exact same book. The political book and the political Bible of Nigeria is pretty much the same thing, right? So I think we should end that talk about the war on corruption. There's no such thing as a war on corruption. There's not even sparring with corruption going on. Nothing. This government is neck deep in corruption. This government is romantically involved with corruption. This government is corrupt.
0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. My guest is Ken Henshaw of We the People. And he said that this current government actually rode on, you know, the back of, we're going to end corruption. And in the early days, there was some selective, cases, individuals of courts being taken to court and, you know, being prosecuted. I think at that point, the word that was used was persecution.
Well, the PDP cried out that they were being persecuted. Yeah.
Good morning, Eno. My question is directed to Ken. Should Nigeria build on the walls of corruption? Okay, then he goes into the party line thing.
Please read it out.
Okay, he says, I thought this APC-led administration was given the sucker in 2015 to correct the anomaly, the wrongs of the former administration, but rather had been the bane of the country. How can the president grant pardon to Jolly Yami and Joshua Dare when corrupt activities are on the increase in Nigeria? When would Nigeria distance herself from corrupt practices? Should the incoming continue a very worst corruption? Which way, Nigeria? Not sure what the question is here.
Well, what I understand is the person is concerned, deeply concerned, that Nigeria cannot build any kind of sustained nation on the foundations of corruption. When will we criminalize corruption? I guess what the person is saying is that at the moment in Nigeria, corruption is not considered a crime, really.
And the president if all hands are inside the pot of soup, who is going to wash it?
It's also the reason you have not seen the NDDC audit report. It's also the reason it's going to 1 year now. We've still not seen the audit report. I had said it. I said it on radio. I said it on TV. That this president will not release the audit report. People said I was joking. I said it in different workshops.
It's almost a year now.
I said it, that the audit report, the forensic audit report, will not be released to the public. Because if you release it, everybody's finger is in that cookie jar. If you release the authentic report, except the report is authored, doctored, the real report, it can never be released.
All right. Let's take some calls. Good morning. Hello? Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Eno.
Yes, you're Nigerian, Phil.
Yeah, this is AP calling you from Port Harcourt. Eno, the discussion this morning about the pardon of the ex-governor, even if it's in the constitution, good and fine, but can we continue in this manner? That every public officer who sees money convicted, instead of allowing the person to serve his term and also bring the money he stole back, you grant them presidential pardon. Well, good and fine. That is not even my fear. My fear is that the interior motive that may be behind this, because you remember last time when the party who kidnapped the railway people saying that Mr. President should release their sponsors and their commanders who are in different cells. For me, this could be an accident because now we have not seen the blame for breach of those granted presidential.
Pardon, yeah.
I think we need to see their names because it could be an agenda to release these guys.
All right, if they want to do that, I'm not sure they would put it under this particular cloak. But Ken, I was asking my colleagues in Abuja if the list has been released, the full list, and my colleague says, as at Friday, no list was published. Even the Attorney General of the Federation did not mention their names on the day of the briefing. I was very concerned about that.
Yeah, a presidential pardon is a public event. It's a public event. In fact, no, let's be clear. Presidential pardons were created in Western democracies as a way of pardoning political prisoners, prisoners of conscience.
Such people that were wronged by the state.
Some seemingly wronged by the state or were conscientious objectors who broke the law. So if Ganifa Wemi, for example, it is a law against protest and Ganifa Wemi steps out and protests, he's arrested and put in jail, a pardon can be used to release him.
Okay?
Political pardon is what was used in releasing, I think, Wole Soyinka back in the days when he took the side of Biafra in the Civil War, right? And, you know, I think that period was... So those are political... That clause was created to settle political issues, not for criminals convicted of stealing public money. Come on. That's not why it was created. So every good, beautiful thing about democracy, when it comes to the Nigeria, it is flushed down the toilet.
Well, we're now adjourned for commercial and then we keep talking. Presidential pardon, two former governors released. And we've seen this happen before. Does it just, you know, make a mess of the fight against corruption? But Ken here, my guest, says no one has ever been fighting corruption in this country. We're Nigerian First. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
One of the pivots of this government at the time of campaign and when they got in was, we're going to fight corruption. And 7 years later, there's a presidential pardon and two former governors who stole billions of naira have been giving a pardon. My guest here, Ken Henshaw, says there's never been a fight against corruption in this country. It's just been a charade. And we're taking your comments up this time. Someone says, am I decided to freeze criminals and enable terrorists? A President Buhari should not release... I think he's saying here that the president releasing these people doesn't stop Nigerians who are corrupt from doing what they're doing. Emi Fiaga says, do I detest the presidential pardon for looters and corrupt politicians in Nigeria? Corruption has dealt with us so much and we should be nailing it at any slightest opportunity. However, please ask Ken if he was aware when PNB complained about the court being his problem in the fight against corruption.
Yes, I'm aware when the PMB complained about the court being his fight against corruption. But who is his problem now?
Who is his problem?
Right now. I mean, the pardon of Dariye and Yame, who is his problem right now? Okay. Listen, the court is not the president's it's not the president's albatross in the fight against corruption. The court isn't stopping anything. The same courts are used when politics is involved. That the same courts cannot be used to carry out very credible campaigns against corruption is a major problem. Look, it's a matter. The first thing is first, right? What this president needs to do, you want to fight anything, the first thing you need to do is demonstrate through your body language that you have criminalized corruption. I use the word.
Body language again.
No. So, what is body language? It's not a bad word. Again,
but in 2015, that was one of the first things that was bandied.
About the president.
Body language.
We'll fix electricity, we'll fix everything, right?
And it was like, the more you look, the less you see.
So, body language is actually not just what you say, but how you act.
So it's the action.
When you open your doors, the doors of your, you're the head of the party. I mean, the leader of the party, like they say, you know, those things, right? Whatever you are, you have, you know, great influence in your political party. When you open the doors of your political party and accept people currently facing charges of corruption, you welcome them yourself. Representatives of you are in ceremonies to welcome them. You embrace them, hug them, right? What are you saying?
Yeah, but he's part of the party.
So that's the thing. What are you saying?
So what you're basically saying, Ken, is that no matter how pious or how upright or how sensible or how the solution to the problem a person is, once they get into a political party, all that is compromised?
Yes. And that's the description of Nigeria's political party. It's a grooming ground. It's a place you go into, and the party ethics, in quotes, is imbued in you, is implanted in you. You learn to think and behave like them. I've said this before, right? If a decent, brilliant, smart person gets into the PDP and the APC, you will probably come out corrupt. So when people say things like, okay, so when Goodluck Jonathan was president of Nigeria, and people and President Yar'Adua died, he was coming into office. We said the exact same thing we're saying today about Osibanjo. Exact same thing. We said, oh, he's this one is different. Oh, he's a doctor. He's not one of them. He's different. You can't be vice president if you're not one of them. It's not possible. You won't get there.
So there's a sort of baptism that happens once you get in. You pass through the fire, the water.
They won't even trust you with counselorship.
Really?
Yes, if you're not one of them. So it's a system. You must have aligned absolutely with the system, behave like the system, get the code of the system, understand the system. You can't be vice president if you haven't. You understand? And so, are you shocked that the Goodluck Jonathan administration ended the way it ended? And will you be surprised if Osibanjo becomes president and it ends the same way? It's ingrained in the system. It's systemic. Mr. Buhari, I'm sorry, I've said this elsewhere. If Mr. Buhari had become president under the CPC, he would probably be a better president under CPC, okay? But the instance it became ACN, ACN and CPC came together and created APC, right? Two things had happened.
Become somebody else to get that ticket.
He had accepted that the person he was in CPC couldn't win an election, okay? He had become another person. He had picked up the ethics of the ACN.
Outside posture was still the same, the DNA code had changed.
Exactly. He had become a new person. He had formed alliances. He needed to be this president who pardons criminals.
We are now adjourned for 0817-923-0002. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Eno.
You're on.
Okay, my name is David Wei, ATM Nigeria. Yeah, this is my opinion towards this pardon. I'm not in support of the situation whereby we begin to give pardon to highly corrupt politicians who have amassed so much wealth for themselves that even five of their generations cannot finish. After spending some few days in the correctional center, they will come back and then begin to parade themselves before us again. I'm not in support of it. But however, let us also look at it in this other perspective. In the first place, if we look at the ground norm, the constitution, section 175 to be precise, I think so, has given the president that power. Now, the president does not on his own. The constitution is not given the sole power to grant a pardon. Are you with me? The constitution made room for Council of State members.
All right. Knocked off by the poor service, but Ken.
Well, I'll respond quickly to that, right? I'll say two things. Number one, he talked about the president having the power. Look, the president of the United States, Biden, has got the nuclear codes to launch nuclear strike in the U.S. But with great power comes great responsibility. The fact that you have power doesn't mean you should deploy that power. Will it be okay to use the same power and pardon Anini? Or Hush Poppy? Or Kyari? You know what I mean? So with great power comes great responsibility, right? That's one. Number two, What was he talking about? The National Council of State. I need him to go back and read his constitution. The role of the National Council of State preside is advisory. Is advisory. So for a council of state to advise you on something, there must be a blue paper on the table already. Who brought the blue paper? There must be a suggestion upon which they advise you. Who brought the suggestion? Of course, it's the president. He brought the idea of pardon.
We're not doing so. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. My name is Good News, calling from Port Harcourt. My brother, I can actually agree to you fundamentally.
Good news.
Yes, on the issue, I think, of a truth. You know, not a political line, but of a truth. When I heard that news, I wasn't that happy. Where we are, and where we are heading to. Saying that some persons must have decided to say they will crumble this country, higher thing that will happen is that they will take go to court and they will fight and fight and fight, and at the end of the day, the court will grant them bail, or is they being prosecuted, they will be caught and got caught by the net, that there will be kind of presidential pardon. That was the worst to stop my mind, and it was kind of an emotional thing to me. But on the other hand, I now look at the constitution. The last time I was talking about it, I saw that it was not just that Mr. President stood up and gave that pardon, but I saw the likes of Gowon, Jonathan, I think it's like a 7% in that meeting, it was a Council of State meeting that they decided, and they themselves said that one other person, Walter Atuchi, will not be granted based on the volume of his own crime. And I kind of started asking, what is the difference between the volume of this and volume of that? Or are criminals that the court has called them criminals, so nobody will say we are alleged. Well, but I think there is those big heads have come to sit down and say, one, two, go, not the presence. Then maybe I'm a little emotional problem to solve the constitutional problem. Probably they've done things that according to the constitution, but if we must make Nigeria straight, a state should be called a state.
All right, we've got Joe talking to Ken here. Says, I don't support the pardon of the two former governors. Your guests make so many wild allegations that are outrageous. Do all judges seek the body language of the president before taking their decisions? Should talk facts and not conjectures. Help me, please. Joe, can you just give me some more information on what you've heard him say this morning? Don't be surprised that those pardoned persons will seek political office and get it. It's a systemic problem. The system works in these recent crops of politicians. Evil is held in honor. APC and PDP are systematically in error. There's nothing as fight against corruption. No one watches what he doesn't like. They watch and mingle because they're part of the corrupt system. Chukwuemeka Michael from Malakaya. Good morning.
Yeah, morning. Honorable. See, this issue of this ex-governor, for me, is generating so many reactions. I think this is a diversion of attention for me, because Mr. President, who carries out this act, knows what he's doing. He can see that this is just a provision of diversion of attention from the people, the real issue. He presented these two ex-governors for us to be debating. Why they're behind them, we don't know them yet. I think this is an issue that media should wake up and begin to find out who has the rest, so that we'll be able to know who and who that Mr. President is releasing. Because he won't tell me that he's releasing 100 and something, and only two ex-governors at once bringing this reaction. For me, the body language of Mr. President should be investigated. Something fishing is going on for this issue of releasing ex-convicted. Thank you very much.
All right, so 100 and something, only two. We've not seen the full list. We're waiting for it. When it does come out, we'll share it. But we'll keep asking. It's our job to do. We've got Franco Confidence saying, your guest has further confirmed the famous statement that PDP is the institution where all Nigerian looters graduated, while APC is the postgraduate school. Anti-corruption war in Nigeria is a mere talk show. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. You know.
Morning, sir.
Yes, my name is John Amade Alessi. Following right. From Old this morning. You know, is there anything wrong? If Mr. President decided to pardon people who stole Nigerian money. Is there anything wrong? Mr. President, Buhari is the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He has a right to decide whosoever sender pleases him. Anything from the Bible, from the time of immemorial, that is what they call forgiveness. Even in your own house, and that man preaches, and people are calling. Say, why Mr. President will forgive that the people that stole Nigeria's money? What opinion so we go of River said that converting all government property to his own personal?
Oga, be calming down. Which government property has the governor converted? Can you name them? No, don't be like that. It's a conversation. Okay, let me let you go. Let me let him go. Breeze, okay? So, sir, if you're the last caller, I let you go because I need you to call back and give me the list of the government property that Governor Yason Wike is converting. I really would like to know so that we can, you know, look beyond what you've just said. Difference between this government and others is that Buhari's government came in with the promise of fighting corruption. Unfortunately, what we see now is promotion of corruption by the same government that promised fighting corruption. It's really sad. Christian sent that in. The anti-corruption campaign of the present administration is misplaced by this singular act. How do you grant presidential pardon to thieves? Are you not glamorizing the acts? I think Mr. President has lost it. George, has your guest considered the option of expunging pardon from the constitution? We must not be UK or US in all respect. Nothing will change through shouting on radio if the clause persists. Justice sent that in.
Yes, okay, so I'll just respond to that point. You don't need to expunge that clause. It has its own use, Justice. It has its own use. But what we can do is what we are doing, public outcry that criminalizes the abuse of that clause of the Constitution, that it is there. It's not the... Listen, if they want to let themselves go, right, if they want to... give themselves a go out of jail card, they will find another way of getting this done. They will always find another way of getting this done, right? So the clause has no problem. The law doesn't have a problem. It's how we implement it and the criminal intent used in implementing it. And it'd be great to respond to what a certain certain person, I think Joe, I think, said about me, what did he say? Conjectures and so on. A lot of consonants there. However, when I speak about body language, right? I speak about how the president steps up, speaks up, and acts about corruption. Whether you like it or not, the orientation of a president makes other institutions sit up. When you demonstrate that you do not care about a bill at the National Assembly, for example, it could drag forever. But the day you show interest in that bill, like the PIA, I keep using that example, people wake up, like the disability bill, people wake up and do their jobs. The same thing with the judiciary. If the president has got an interest in a corruption case, right? An interest in a corruption case, no judge will adjourn it for a year. The adjournment will be short adjournment. And you can see examples in other cases, election cases. So it's not about conjecture. That's what I mean by body language. I'm not saying that the president is going to influence judges. No. I'm saying that it's about, you know, the persistent interest, the overt interest of a president. So if the president now accuses the judiciary of slowing down the war on corruption, I disagree. Okay, look at the case of the Super Cup, right? The time of indictment to the time of arrest to his denial of bail. See how short it was. You know why? Because the international community is interested. If this were just Nigeria, Kyari would still be on the streets. Because international, the judiciary did their job instantly. Bah, bah, bah. You know, he has been arrested, indicted, bail denied, and so on and so forth, right? You can see how fast it went. Because there's international interest. If there was no international interest, he would probably still be in his house right now performing the role of a super cop.
Okay. On Facebook, we've got Oko Namdi. Daria and Yame both belong to a political class. Nigeria is a social class system. If you don't belong, you're out of the game. Wisdom, we shouldn't expect to show us who he's not. We all read and some witnesses military regime, yet voted him in. So please, let's allow him complete his mission. No one should feel surprised by his releasing condemned criminals. Okay, Wisdom believes that,
Wisdom, don't do that. Please don't do that, Wisdom. Please don't do that. I know where it's going to, right? There are a host of Nigerians who think that that we deserve to suffer what this government is dishing out to Nigeria, that people believe, and they have their own reason. Like, listen, we told you, you didn't listen, you decided to vote this guy, therefore you should suffer for it. I get that point, but listen, 7 years is long suffering.
You know,
but I don't understand.
You understand?
No, but Nigerians voted.
Yeah, they voted, right?
So, you
so please, please back. Forgive those who voted him.
No,
let's put hands together and fix this.
No, there's no forgiveness. The way to put hands together to fix is by voting.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had that conversation, I mean, not you and I, about a person who is not part of a political party. So, I mean, maybe you'd come back for that conversation. So, we have certain people who have come out as candidates. And I was reading somewhere, and someone said, it is an embarrassment that in Nigeria we have these people coming out as now so you don't bad reach. As in now so Nigeria don't bad reach. When are these people say they want con, what do they want con do?
I think we should have a conversation around that. I have an idea about why that's happening in the country.
We're gonna have
currently
a conversation.
But Eno, the governors of Benue State and Plateau State are happy. I mean, Otom and Jang are celebrating
the release.
Yes, they have thanked President Buhari for releasing those criminals.
Okay.
That gives you so tell me what corruption will feel like in those places. States.
Well, that's why some people observe silence, table manners. One of these says, your president saying corruption is a major thing he'll fight. How can you fight corruption when you're... Okay. Well, he's saying the leaders in this country, they're the ones that, you know, are making this happen. But let's move beyond that level, Ken.
Yeah.
We keep hearing that corruption is systemic. You go to get your N9, for example, and someone there is saying you pay 5,000. You go to get your international passport. Someone is saying, you know, the official rate is this. Someone is saying, well, you know, sometimes when you go there and you speak a lot of English, you're a journalist or you're someone who knows your rights, they'll tell you, well, when you speak English, finish. Now we there here. Now we there here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Is the bottom more rotten than the top, or they're competing for who will corrupt Nigeria more?
It's a national pastime. Corruption is national pastime. It's national pastime. Like, so, you know, you're traveling, you get into...
Airports, they are begging you to
begging,
settle.
They
for
want
nothing, just for because
settle.
You can travel, give me
even
money.
Even when you want to ease yourself, you go into the bathroom, somebody's serving you soap. Yeah. Soap provided for, toilet paper, unroll it, give it to you, spray this on you.
I gave that woman 200 naira
and
on
Friday. You know what, they're not necessarily corrupt, but they're trying to create value that doesn't exist. In your house, you take your own soap yourself and your toilet paper yourself, mm-hmm. and you wash your hands yourself. But they want to do it for you. So the idea is to create value that doesn't exist. Create a value, and then you now say, oh, he gave me toilet paper, oh, he gave me soap, he dried my hands, therefore I should give him 100 naira, 200 naira.
And if you
creating
don't get,
value that doesn't
they start
exist.
To talk
the
rubbish.
Same thing with the police. The police creates in the station, they create a value that doesn't exist. They tell
station,
you, oh,
on the road, you go station. That
you know, so with the, oh, your boys, they will protect you with the value that doesn't exist. And it's the same thing with the ministries, the agencies, the parastatals, immigration office, everywhere, creating a value. So you,
and these are not political officers. They're not politicians.
The statutory responsibility of a public official has now been reduced to a favor being done to you. So you want to get, like you said, international passport. You go to the immigration office at the Federal Secretariat and they treat it as if they are doing you a favor.
Mm.
A favor such that when they charge you higher than the fee that is on the website, right? You feel that, yeah, they gave me a favor. It did me a favor. Maybe the time to get the passport is 48 hours, right? And they are able to do it for you in 48 hours. You feel it's a favor because you just saw the other guy who was delayed for two months. You know, you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they create a value that, and sometimes in creating that value that doesn't exist, it means destroying something else.
Yeah.
Destroying a smooth working civil service, right? To create value that allows somebody pay you. It's the same thing teachers do, right?
You go take immunization for your baby, you have to give them something.
Something extra. It's that just trying to create value. So corruption is not just one cancer in Nigeria. It's the national pastime, it's the bloodline of the country. And the only person who can fix this problem is an outlier. Somebody totally outside this system.
The big question now becomes, will an outlier get in?
And that's the problem. The only way outliers get into politics is number one, two ways really. One, through negotiating and joining the mainstream, which Buhari did.
Which
number
is
two,
rich now. So they pass through the water, the fire.
Yes,
and
get in there. And they become a Buhari when they become president. The other way is if they mobilize a mass movement of Nigerians. It sounds impossible, but it's happened elsewhere. Mobilize a mass movement of Nigerians and drive.
Mm.
Someone like Zelensky in Ukraine, that's an outlier, a comedian. Who led a mass movement. If it can happen in other parts of the world, it can happen in Nigeria. And I think, look, so There's a way a system drops and falls and falls and falls, and at some point it will get to a point that we'll realize that, listen, our salvation does not lie in the APC or the PDP or mainstream politics. Our salvation lies elsewhere. I think we will get it right, but we'll need to pass through a lot more fire.
Are we willing to pass through that fire? Thank you very much, Ken Henshaw, for your time.
Thank you so much. As usual.
Ken Henshaw is of We the People, and basically what they do, they hold government accountable. My name is Enoch Bevere. The conversation continues online on Twitter, Facebook, and you can visit our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. Do enjoy the rest of our broadcast, and of course, a happy Easter.
You are tuned in to 92.3 Nigeria Info.